Welcome to AUSA's Army Matters podcast. This is Family Voices with Patty Barron. It's my honor to have as our guest today Mrs. Maria McConville, registered dietitian, certified personal trainer, entrepreneur, veteran, and spouse of the U.S. Army Chief of Staff, General James McConville. Maria, welcome and thank you so much for joining us on Army Matters to discuss your perspective on the current state of Army families and progress on the Chief's Quality of Life initiatives.
Thanks, Patty. Thanks for inviting me, and I'm honored to be your guest today.
Maria, first and foremost, how are you? Can you tell us about your responsibility as the Army senior spouse and how, if at all, the role has changed during COVID-19?
Sure, Patty. Well, I'm doing well. Both Jimmy and I are healthy and happy today anyway. I'm keeping myself busy with various chores and projects, things that I've been meaning to do for far too long. And I've also been working on some fun projects as well. So you know how that goes. I do work from home, have for about 9 years, but my nutrition consulting business has been adversely affected since I work in the corporate wellness arena. So as you can imagine, few people are physically at work, so they're not engaged in their company's wellness programs. And like many families, our family is impacted by this pandemic. All three of our kids and our son-in-law serve on active duty. So our daughter, who's a licensed clinical social worker, reported to her new duty station last December. When she did, she was told that she would be deploying to Afghanistan sometime this spring. And they had gotten orders, but then things seemed to be on hold for a while and they weren't really hearing anything. And then just last week, they were told, yep, you're going, pack your bags. And so she actually is deploying this coming weekend. Right. So her husband will be holding down the fort while she's gone for the 9 months. And then our youngest son has been on a 9-month rotation to Germany since October. He's due back in June, but again, he doesn't know. I mean, they're hearing rumors over there that they could get extended for up to 6 months, and the unit that's supposed to replacing them apparently hasn't really heard officially what they've been doing, so they're definitely in flux as well, and they like to call Jimmy on the weekends and say, Dad, what's really going on? Because they think as the Chief of Staff of the Army, he's got all the answers, but, you know, he doesn't, and because this is a completely new thing to everyone, but our senior leaders are working really hard to minimize the disruption, but also keeping in mind that they have to keep our soldiers and families safe and healthy. And since Jimmy took over as the chief last year in August, I've had the privilege of representing Army spouses and families, working with numerous organizations. I try to advocate for our Army families. I also travel with Jimmy to various installations where I learn not only about the challenges, but also the incredible accomplishments of our people. And obviously, we're not traveling now, but I have been able to stay connected with our senior spouses virtually. And when Jimmy says, look, guys, I really don't know, then they'll call me or text me a couple hours later and they'll say, Mom, does he really know when he's not telling us? But I assure them that he doesn't know because, like I said, I mean, with this pandemic, nobody really knows. And we're all taking it day to day, including our senior leaders. So it's been kind of funny here in the house.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're staying connected with senior spouses, which is fantastic. But are you also able to stay connected with friends of yours and put a little bit of that fun stuff into your routine?
Yeah, so I have a group of friends that we were all stationed together in Hawaii over 20 years ago, and we've remained good friends. And so what we've done is we've formed a vacation club. So we Zoom every week on Tuesdays, and instead of talking about COVID, we take turns presenting one of our bucket list destinations. It's been really fun. And so far, we've been to Machu Picchu, Flagstaff, Glacier National Park, the Galapagos Islands, and we've been on an African safari, all virtual, of course, but it's been really fun.
Maria, you are so active in participating in the various Zoom conference calls surrounding support to Army families. So can you tell us any of the amazing stories regarding spouses and Army families' resilience that you've learned during these calls?
Absolutely. And I don't want to discount or minimize the seriousness or gravity of this pandemic, let alone the unknown second and third order effects. But I am grateful to the organizations who've helped to identify, assist, and also mitigate those challenges. And I'm super grateful to our Army soldiers and families who really are resilient. And we know that resilience is a core Army competency, and the Army knows that it's really a protective factor against vulnerabilities. And so the Army ensures that every service member has the tools and skills to build resilience. I was really impressed with the resiliency program. And so when Jimmy was Commanding General at the 101st, I was intricately involved in spouses becoming master resilience trainers. And I know that we are resilient. And I've reached out to some of our active duty spouses and heard some wonderful things that our families are doing while they're practicing social distancing. From one installation, I heard that families have embraced virtual medical appointments and in-and-out processing appointments. So both the medical treatment facilities and the families have realized how efficient and effective this is, and then they hope to continue those virtual appointments in the future, which sounds like what a lot of people are having to do with medical appointments. And then I know that families are connecting with each other in some really, really creative ways. Some of the stories that I've heard is a sidewalk chalk painting. Some will go to each other's houses to leave messages like happy birthday or have a good day or happy anniversary or whatever that special occasion is. And families have been finding rocks and taking them home and painting them with uplifting messages and then leaving them for other families to find on their walks. Mm-hmm. People are putting teddy bears in their windows. They're doing virtual workouts with friends and then taking family ruck marches. I heard one family say that their son started ruck marching with them and said he actually enjoyed that more than playing his video games. So I think that's really great. And even dinner time, families have started having themed dinners. They're getting out and dusting off that fine china that they haven't used in years. Mm-hmm. And they're trying new recipes.
That's so true. If nothing else, this has brought families closer together because you have really nowhere else to go. And you're starting to explore some of the fun things that you can do as families that maybe we took for granted before. So I love hearing all that. It's fantastic. And what about SFRGs or coffee groups? Anything there that's new that you can share with us?
Exactly. So soldier and family readiness groups have taken on a new look. And here's one thing that I learned from one of our installations. This is what they wrote in and told me. The SFRG meeting attendance is skyrocketing since everyone is doing them virtually. One battalion shared that they had every company commander and SFRG advisor at their last meeting, and that was the first time ever that everyone had attended. And another SFRG advisor shared that they did their meeting through Facebook Live, and they had the most viewers that they've ever had. So now they're thinking, well, we should do more of our meetings that way. So I think it's great, and I love the innovative and out-of-the-box thinking.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, there's an awful lot that we're learning that we probably won't go back to some of the old ways or maybe a mixture of old and new. So that's fantastic. In February, when COVID-19 started to impact our soldiers and families on the Korean Peninsula, I checked with a lot of my friends that were stationed at Camp Humphreys just to kind of see how they were doing. And what I learned from them was really interesting. They said that for them, this sense of uncertainty and distance from loved ones wasn't new, that they would find a way to deal with it. And you know what? They were right. Military families have faced uncertainty and separation for generations, as you know, and have various strategies, and they have learned to persevere for sure. What would you share with your civilian friends about how to persevere during these difficult times from a military life perspective?
You're right, Patty. So General Abrams, the commander of the forces in South Korea, and his wife, Connie, have done a superb job of quickly locking down Camp Humphreys. And so they've been able to minimize their exposure and their outbreak. And yes, uncertainty and separation are a way of life for us, as you said. So what would I share with civilians? Probably the most salient thing is our sense of community. Army families have always helped one another unconditionally. We rise to new challenges and we look at change as a new opportunity. In fact, I remember when Jimmy was leaving for his second deployment, one to Afghanistan, and this one was for 15 months. And a non-military relative asked me, "So Maria, what are you going to do for 15 months?" I think that she envisioned me curling up in the corner in the fetal position, right?
Yes.
But I told her, "Well, in addition to taking care of our three kids and working a part-time job, I'm going to go back to school and get my master's degree." And so I did.
That is awesome.
I do think that we make the most of our time because we never know when our situation is going to change again. I would tell outsiders to seize the opportunities now and not put things off till tomorrow, because tomorrow could change, and it usually does.
And speaking of which, you've been a huge advocate for military spouse employment. I really was interested in what you said during your opening, that with your business, this COVID-19 stay-at-home order has impacted the ability to do what you've been doing. And I would imagine that many spouses are kind of trying to navigate this new, I hate to say new normal, but that's really what it is. Do you have any advice for spouses under the current COVID-19 context on ways that they can contribute to remain future oriented and to continue to prepare for employment opportunities post COVID?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Of all of the five quality of life issues, I believe the spouse employment is the one nearest and dearest to my heart. After I got that master's degree, we went into a downturned economy, and it was so much harder to get a job than I ever imagined. But during that time, in addition to applying for jobs, I completed much of my continuing education requirements. I have continuing education that I have to do both as a registered dietitian and as a certified fitness trainer. I also took time to really do some soul searching about what an ideal job looked like for me. I made lists of what I wanted in a job and what I didn't. I identified my best skills and talents, and I wrote a wellness vision, and then I put some actionable steps behind them. So that really helped me put some useful things in place that I could do during the time that it was hard to come up with a job. But I finally did get hired into a great dietitian's position for a corporate wellness company, and I really loved that job. But as we know, after working at the company's headquarters for 10 months, we got orders to move yet again. I think it was move number 20. So I went to my boss and I asked if I could take the job with me and work from home. You know, at first they were skeptical, but they said, "Okay, we'll give you a 3-month trial." Well, I worked that way for over 2 years. Eventually, the company merged with another company and my position was eliminated. So it was after that that I started my own consulting business. I remember telling Jimmy, "I'm not doing this again. I've changed jobs 14 times since we've been married, and I'm not going to be the stupid new person again." So I had had my own business about a decade before that, but I never really solidified it as I did about 7 or 8 years ago by registering my business, having a federal tax ID number, hiring an accountant, and then paying quarterly self-employment taxes.
One of the things that really sticks out at me is that you use that time so wisely. I never would have thought to say, what type of job do I want? What type of job don't I want? And where is my skill set? Where are my strengths? And I know that you're a huge fan of Brené Brown, who speaks to that type of thing, to being, you know, strong and really leaning in. And it just sounds like you could write your own book, because that's really, really good information. And the fact that you were really brave enough to jump in and become an entrepreneur, that's pretty amazing.
Well, thanks. And I do love Dr. Brené Brown, and I have read a lot of her work. I kind of call myself a self-help junkie. So I do think that because I have always loved to read self-help books, that it really helped me through that time to realize that there was more to being happily and gainfully employed than just having a job. Why not be in the employment space where you really we're using the best of your talents? So I know for me, I don't like the same thing day in and day out. So I needed a position where I didn't just sit at a desk 8 hours a day. Luckily, that position, I traveled a lot. I trained and hired new employees and got to create new curriculum. So it really worked out well for me.
That's amazing. And I think that there are many more organizations now that are tuning into how to best support military spouses in their career aspirations or in starting their own business. It's amazing how many have really embraced that concept.
You're right. When I started my own business, I mostly learned how to be an entrepreneur from a dietetic practice group called Nutrition Entrepreneurs. If there were resources out there for military spouses at the time, I didn't know of them. But now it is just so humbling for me to see all the organizations and resources committed to spouse employment. Military OneSource, gosh, I can spend hours on their website. They have a robust offering of career enhancement resources as well as their corporate partnership. I know that the USO, they have their Pathfinder program, Hiring Our Heroes through the Chamber of Commerce, IVMF through Syracuse University, the Rosie Network. There's so many organizations now that are in the spouse employment place. So, yeah, the assistance is tremendous. And I do want to say, Patty, though, that spouse employment isn't right for everyone. I'm also an advocate for spouses doing what they're passionate about. There isn't one right way to be an Army spouse. I find that when I'm engaged in things that bring out the best in me, whatever that is, working or non-working, I'm a better helpmate to my family and to the Army. Our spouses have so many talents, and I encourage them to use them in any way possible. And I'm really constantly in awe of all the great things our spouses do on a daily basis.
Thank you so much for saying that, Maria. That is such an important thing to remember. I'm a registered nurse, and my career path has certainly not been a straight line. It's been very, very crooked. But that's okay. And I think that our Army spouses, our military spouses, need to hear that whatever is good for them at the time is good for them and their family. So thank you so much for saying that. And you're right, they are so talented. And I've been amazed at how many spouses have just picked up their sewing skills and made so many masks and helping kids with tutoring, just a plethora of lots of different types of ways that they're supporting themselves and each other during this really difficult time. Which leads me to ask you about one thing that I've always been impressed about is how military families really, really care and focus on their children. And although this interview will be aired in May, we are taping it in April during the month of the military child. And what a month it's been for our Army children. Missed classroom time, play dates, high school proms and graduations that have been missed. If your kids were younger and at home, what words of wisdom would you give them?
Well, I guess I would tell them, learn to be resourceful. And that was something I came to learn in raising my kids. Sometimes as parents, it's easier for us to do things for our kids, but then I realized they weren't learning some important life lessons if we do everything for them. Sometimes they have to have small failings, things that they fail at so that they can learn. But I also tried to teach them to be resourceful. I remember when they got to be of a certain age where they could call in and schedule their own doctor's appointments and go pick up their own prescriptions at the pharmacy and things that, yeah, would have been easy for me to do. But I knew that as they became adults, they wouldn't understand the whole process. So little by little, I think I really instilled in them how to be resourceful. I remember one time, my daughter didn't like eating the school lunches, so I would make her lunch every day. But I also sometimes had to go to work really early. And I remember one day she called me and said, "Mom, you forgot to make my lunch." And I said to her, "Well, I know you're a resourceful girl and you'll figure it out." And that's all I said. And so knowing that, you know, she had shared her lunch so many times with her friends that someone would undoubtedly share their lunch with her. So I remember using those words a lot. You can just learn to be resourceful. But I also have told them that their thoughts drive their outcomes. So whatever we think will be, will be. So if you think you can't get through this, you most likely won't. But if you think you can get through this, you probably will. And even though sometimes things seem very monumental when you're going through them, I always say this is just a speed bump in the road of life.
I think when it comes to being at home with littles, that's what I like to call them, the little ones and our school age kids. Oh my goodness. That's the one thing that I am somewhat grateful for, that I have adult children and not little ones at home. It can be pretty taxing, I imagine. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, I can imagine too. I do remember those days. Think there were days when I thought, oh my gosh, they're never going to go to school. They're never going to be old enough. I remember telling my husband, when you go to work, you're all working together to accomplish something. I feel like being at home with small kids, they're always working against me. But I do think that this is a time when I know that schooling is important since they're not able to physically go to school. But I also think that there's so many ways that we can educate our kids without really having them know we're educating them, like getting some old photo albums out and teaching them about their family tree and their relatives. Not much of a TV watcher myself, but documentaries can be so enlightening, and you can learn so much from some of those documentaries. Just playing games together, doing crossword puzzles. The National Geographic Museum here in DC has a great website of activities that families can do together. There's been times when I've looked at that and thought, man, I wish I had some kids around that I could do some of these fun activities with. So I think they can be very educational, but fun at the same time.
That's great. I will have to actually look into that for sure. And, you know, both you and I have followed the Military Support Initiative powered by the Association of Defense Communities and Blue Star Families. They conducted a pain point survey, which is updated weekly with their collected data and findings. And many of the pain points center around childcare, PCS moves, employment, military children's mental health. All of these issues really align well with General McConville's Quality of Life Initiative. Can you remind our audience what those QOL initiatives are and some of the resources discussed to support Army families during COVID-19?
Well, sure, Patty. You mentioned three of the five quality of life initiatives. You mentioned PCS moves, spouse employment, and child care. The other two are health care and housing. And I'm sure that all of these have undoubtedly been impacted by COVID-19. There are many organizations and resources to help mitigate our challenges. And you mentioned the collaboration between Blue Star Families and Association of Defense Communities. And I've already mentioned Military OneSource. Military OneSource has professionals to help with mental health issues and employment, just to name a few of their many, many resources. I also learned that the U.S. Army Medical Command has established a COVID-19 hotline, so you can call them 24/7 to get linked to experts who have resources. And the hotline number is 1-800-984-8523. I've also heard from people that tutor.com is a great site for kids to use for enhancing their schoolwork. And when I got on the site to look at it myself, I saw that there was a specific link for military children on that site. So that was great to find.
Absolutely. Tutor.com is one of my favorite resources. We used it when Mike was active duty. Military families are able to use this free of charge, which is amazing. So now we find ourselves in May. I can't believe that. And May, we celebrate Military Spouse Appreciation Day. Now more than ever, you know, we really rely on our Army spouses to hold the home team together, if you will, as well as work remotely, support their SFRG, homeschool. And we talk a lot about self-care, but where do you find the time? You know, we've got so many duties at home. How do you take care of yourself? Would you share some helpful hints or resources to Army spouses to help them manage their at-home responsibilities and self-care?
Sure. Well, I believe that self-care is individualized. What works for me is not what would work for you. The important thing, I found this as a mother especially, is to give yourself permission to practice self-care when needed. Sometimes we think that unplugging or reading a book or taking a bubble bath or whatever it is that we decide to do for self-care, we think of that as self-indulgent. But what I've come to learn is that we have to take care of ourselves, or else we're not doing a very good job at taking care of others. So I don't think that we should ever look at self-care as self-indulgent, but it's definitely necessary. one of the ways that people are actually engaging in self-care is by giving of ourselves. And so studies have shown that when we give, we often reap more benefits than what we're actually giving. So giving to others, connecting with them, it's so important for our mental self-care. What do you think about that?
I couldn't agree more. And I see that over and over and over again. People are giving in so many ways. I wanted to ask you, though, as someone that is busy with so many different projects and things, how do you take care of you?
Good question. Exercise has always been a good self-release for me. I've been taking long walks around the installation, actually finding some new places. Took my husband on a long walk yesterday to places around Post that he hadn't even seen before, so that was kind of fun. I do yoga twice a week, and I lift weights twice a week, and one of my favorite joys is I have a mini trampoline, and I love jumping on my trampoline. It just makes me happy. It is what I call my afternoon caffeine. So in the afternoon, if I'm working on a project or I'm doing work calls and my energy starts drooping a little bit, I put on some music and get on my trampoline for about 10 minutes. And, you know, that gives me a lot more energy than caffeine would probably give me. And it doesn't keep me up at night. So that's one of my favorite things. I also find that connecting with my friends and connecting with my family is self-care for me, making sure that everybody's okay. I've been indulging in a little bit of reading. I've been reading some really interesting historical fiction books, and so that's something I don't normally do, but I find that these are ways that when I'm starting to feel that, oh my gosh, are we ever going to come out of this? Are we ever going to be able to be around people again? Are we ever going to be able to shop without feeling like you're scared of the person coming down the aisle next to you? So when I'm starting to have those doubts, I will usually go for a walk and call a friend. So if I can do two of those at the same time, that's a win-win situation for me.
Phyllis, that is fantastic. I cannot tell you how happy the image of you jumping on a little trampoline, listening to music makes me. That is awesome. Absolutely awesome. And Maria, speaking of awesome, you've been a fantastic guest. As we conclude our podcast today, are there any final remarks for our audience? Anything you'd like to mention?
Well, just how proud I am of everybody. I had gotten some really great anecdotes from Fort Riley of their quarantine fairies that they have. People have been leaving survival buckets for each other. They've been painting wooden do not disturb signs for kids to hang on their doors when they're studying. They've been distributing seed packets so people can grow flowers. They've been keeping each other accountable for their exercise. So I know that we're going through a tough time. I know that it can be discouraging at times, but I also know that we are resilient and we're going to get through this like we do for everything else. And I just want to thank you, Patty, and also thank AUSA for always having our soldiers and their families in the palm of your hand and in the center of your heart. I'm grateful for all of you.
Oh, thank you so much, Maria. We feel very strongly and very much the same about you and General McConville. Thank you.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Monday with a brand new episode of Army Matters with Thought Leaders. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.